Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bringing him in now, big time, our good friend Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio, and also works with us all season long on Green Bay Packers stuff and down at Super Bowl as well. Michael, how you been, pal?
Pretty good. You know, you're Mark Murphy. You played safety in the NFL for 8 or 9 years for the Washington Redskins, Pro Bowler. You won some Super Bowls. Today, you're the CEO and president of the Green Bay Packers, one of the great sports franchises in the world, and you're sitting at home on a Tuesday night watching a cornhole match.
That just sounds funny. I like that. Yeah,
it does.
You know, it would have been better if you'd have painted the picture of him in his boxers, you know, with his, like, just socks on, sitting up at the Ottoman, dog next to him, that type of thing, you know, maybe drinking a beer.
It might have been to that, and who knows what's going on. But, you know, we had a chance to talk to Mark Murphy after the shareholders meetings. And I'll tell you what, we talked about this, well, 2 years ago. The year that McCarthy got fired in 18, their net profits were only $7 million. Normally, they're around $30 or $40 million a year. Now, they've got $500 million in investments stashed away that's growing interest. You know, they're invested in stocks and those kinds of things. So that was part of the shareholders meeting. But this year, or 2019, they finished back up about $34 million. Why? Because when they fired McCarthy, they still had to pay him $9 million to, you know, work in the football barn there at the house in De Pere. And they also paid severance for all those other coaches, and they took on Aaron Rodgers' contract and all those other things. And he said that player costs were the big reason. It was kind of an interesting dip. They come back last year with a new coach, new staff. They go 13-3. They get a playoff game at Lambeau Field, and the profits are ringing. The cash register at the pro shop is ringing, all those other things. And thank goodness, I mean, the timing is everything, because now you get them into this pandemic year where those things are shut down for 4 or 5 months. And it's just amazing how those things have all played out for the Green Bay Packers. Now, one thing, though, that has been talked about, and I looked this up again, Barry Alvarez said about the 23rd of July to the Associated Press, hey, if I can't get Wisconsin Badger football this year going and our other fall athletic sports, we could take a $100 million hit to our finances for Wisconsin Badgers and for the UW system. And that's why, you know, college was saying we've got to get out there in some way, at least conference games. And so I had a chance to talk to Mark Murphy in this press conference the other day, and I said, so Barry said that. Could you give us a sense about how big a loss, you know, this could be if the NFL doesn't happen? Here's Mark Murphy.
Yeah, you know, Mike, that's obviously it's a great question. And, you know, we've looked at all different contingencies and alternatives. And, well, first of all, I mean, obviously the safety of everybody involved, players, coaches, fans, you know, but when you step back and you look at it, Mike, roughly 2/3 of our revenue comes from our broadcast television. As we look at it, I think that the first priority is getting the games in and getting them on television. Because if we're able to do that, you know, then we'll be able to cover our player costs, which obviously it's our biggest cost. You know, I think we're going to be very cautious in terms of whether we'll have fans in the stands. You know, as we talked about, if we do, it's going to be, you know, capacity probably a maximum of 12,000. Obviously, a fairly small percentage of a 82,000 seat stadium, but there's a lot at stake. And we understand, what Packer home games mean to the community, to local businesses. And this is unprecedented, uncharted waters for all of us. And we want to make sure that we do things as safe as possible. The last thing we would want is to contribute to some type of outbreak or super spreader event. And so we'll move forward and hopefully be able to, at a minimum, get the games in and on television.
You know, Mike, it's interesting because we all know it just depends. When he said we don't want to be a super spreader of something like this with a super event. This is all about not only how the Packers, but how all NFL teams adapt to this. The way baseball's going, I still raise an eyebrow. I hope they can get this in. I know the protocols in that building up there have to be stringent, but I just hope they can get this in.
So here's one of the things I found really interesting, Bill, is that where did you come up? If you got 85,000 seats, where'd you come up with that just 10,000 to 12,000 fans if they let fans in the Lambeau Field this year for those 8 regular season games and maybe a playoff game? And he said, the thing about it is Lambeau is such a great place for a fan to see a football game. And it's basically that bowl, 65, 67,000 seats on bench seating in a bowl. He said, if these other stadiums, they've got a lower grand and an upper grandstand. That's easier, the experts tell them, when it would come to the social distancing. So because it's the bowl, they can only allow as many as 10 or 12,000 people and still try to have the distancing that they would want to keep things safe mm-hmm. for fans if they let them in. I thought that was an interesting note. Murphy, Gutekunst, they're learning all these kinds of things, Bill. And talking to people about what the building looks like now, let's say that you are, Gray, the new defensive backs coach, and maybe you got, 12 guys in your room. The defensive backs office or a meeting room, like if you've ever watched Hard Knocks, they're not the biggest rooms. Sometimes they're actually kind of close. There's a big screen there. There's a place where the coach has got a desk and he can run it. But that's where these guys spend 3 hours a day looking at film, getting ready for the next practice, reviewing what they did before. That's too close now under these COVID restrictions. So they've had to move guys. They're looking at, you can use that part of the cafeteria or this part over here of the gym. Or they're moving these meetings to all different places. I imagine what's going on right now with the veterans coming in, it's like the first day of school. You got a new class schedule, and you've got new places in the building where you have to meet, and it's going to take a couple days to get into a whole new routine because you're not going back to the smaller classroom that your position group always used. For example, our big media auditorium, that's where the offensive linemen are meeting because it's their normal classroom is too small. So they're spread out all over the building. And then you touched on about how bad fans need this to happen for the distraction to get the sports on, and I'm with you on that. I'm a safety first though kind of guy. I knew this thing was coming early on. Even when you and I were down in Miami, we saw people coming off of international flights from China all masked up. The pandemic had been on for 2 months, and I started looking into it, and I thought in March or April maybe they shouldn't do these sports. I've had a change of mind. Yesterday I watched that SpaceX capsule splash down like the old Apollo missions. And it triggered a memory. When Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, Apollo 11, landed on the moon, when they came back, they couldn't go right to ticker tape parades because the scientists were concerned that maybe, there would be some sort of a bug they would bring back from the moon. They had to be quarantined for like 2 weeks. And that triggered a thought to me, if the NFL could pull this off, Bill, that this would be help out businesses, other sports, high school, colleges. If they could come up with the practices that worked and were successful, a lot of us could use this as we get back in our offices. And that's the question I had for Brian Gutekunst yesterday.
Brian, I saw a report. The TV crew went through the Rams facility in Thousand Oaks, and I was impressed by the equipment they were using, this vertical thermometer when the players and crew checks in. This sensor they wear about the size of the domino. And the thought that I had was, not only would it be important for the NFL to get through the season to entertain folks, but you've got an opportunity to come up with some procedures than how any kind of business or school athletics could function in this pandemic. Have you guys talked about that?
Yeah, no doubt. I think when you go through something like this and you're forced to do a lot of things maybe out of your comfort zone and new technology and all different kinds of things, there's things that are going to last way beyond this pandemic that we'll probably adopt into our process. But I know for me personally, I just feel really good and safe about how we're going about those things. And it gives me a lot of confidence. And I hope that our players see that as they come in, not only from how they enter the building, but to how the changes we've made in the building and the different decisions Matt's made about how we're meeting. And, you know, certainly our cafeteria and how we feed our players has changed. And there's no doubt that some of those things will probably stay with us long after, you know, hopefully we get beyond this pandemic.
I hope the protocols, that things we learned from Mike, like he points out, they do keep in place. But, you know, I think right now we're worried about players doing what players like to do, and that is get out, get their faces seen, get a little bit of recognition out in the public. I mean, this is all about, I think, coaches and veterans really corralling a lot of the young guys to say, hey, we've got a responsibility here to not only to play the game, but also to everybody in this locker room to stay safe. And I think it's incumbent upon Matt LaFleur and his veteran group to be able to keep guys accountable.
So this weekend, the Cardinals have to postpone games because of their outbreak. Rob Manfred, the commissioner's cracking down on players. Players are pushing back like John Lester say, hey, man, it's not all us. We can get this thing anywhere. I mean, if you got a trainer working on you and wrapping up your ankle and he's not being careful, that's where this could come from as well. It's not just all baseball players or football players, you know, going to strip bars to get a box of chicken wings. And
right.
Matt LaFleur is the guy who's got to get these Packer players in line, particularly the younger ones, in terms of being accountable to each other.
Well, I think that's the whole key. If we're going to have football play this year, it's going to take a lot of self-discipline and a lot of self-accountability. And it's not just our players. I mean, it starts with our staff. Really, anybody that comes in contact with our players, they have got to be very mindful of what they're doing outside of this building. So certainly we're going to encourage our guys, if they choose to go out in public, to mask up and, you know, just – we're all in this sucker together, that's for sure.
Let's do this. We're talking with Mike Clemens of NFL Sirius Radio. Mike's our on-the-ground guy reporter as well in Green Bay. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, come back more with Mike when we get back. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip, top-tier alternative fuels, no-fee ATMs. Don't forget Karuba Gold Coffee today. Any size on sale for a buck, and those pothole pizzas. I finally had a chance to try one, and oh, my goodness. Those things are fantastic. If you're going to be out and about and just looking for a pizza to get and take it home, oh, my goodness, that's the way to go. No doubt about it. Stop in and see our friends at Quick Trip, and do not forget, use your Quick Rewards card. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Rodgers throws, pass, caught, touchdown. It's the rookie Sternberger. And the Packers climbing back into this game with 8:13 left.
Hey, our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin want to tell you that they've extended that two-week sale. It goes all the way to August 15th now. That is going to be Saturday, August 15th. So, look, you can do the math. Buy three windows, save $250. Buy up to nine windows, you save $750. Buy a dozen, you get $1,000 off that patio door system. In fact, the more you buy, the more you save. Right now through August 15th, they've extended the sale. And if you have a squeaky, leaky, you know, metal-on-metal sounding, hard-to-open patio door, they can help you out. They can help replace that door and give you some money off if you're buying some windows along the way. Maybe you just need windows. You don't need a door. That's fine. You can choose 48 months, no interest financing, and 5 months, no payments. Right then and there from our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The more you save, the more you buy, the more you buy, the more you save. It's that simple. Do the math. And the offer ends, by the way, again, Saturday, August 15th. So stop into your nearby showroom or Pella Experience or set up your free consultation right now at PellaWI.com. That is PellaWI.com. Back with our good buddy Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And So we had the highlight there of Sternberger, who is not with the team right now. He's tested positive. So got a few guys like that. As far as the tight end position, Mike, goes, how confident do you feel about the tight end position going into this season?
I'm a little more worried about tight end than all the talk in the offseason about the Packers missing out on the opportunity to add a wide receiver with the draft, or why they weren't more active in free agency. Then they get Devin Funchess, and he ends up opting out. You know, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm more concerned about the void left with Jimmy Graham gone. And yes, those two never quite had the chemistry. No one will ever have the chemistry that Rodgers had with Jordy Nelson. But whatever, he's out of the picture. Most people don't understand why the Bears signed him, and neither do I. But now the depth chart is Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, who's coming back from an injury, and then a kid, Evan Bayless, who's, you know, big-bodied kid we saw in camp. James Looney is that defensive lineman. They moved over to the tight end squad. And then, you know, all the marbles are on Jay Sternberger, who was a little underdeveloped. They kind of knew he would be a project, but they think that he's got great potential with his speed and his hands. And yet, you know, he's over the middle, and what's supposed to be a, you know, three-quarters thud practice in the joint practice sessions with the Texans, and this rookie Lonnie Johnson drills him over the middle and just, I mean, knocked his block off. He was out for weeks and then had another injury in the year. So, you know, it was an injury-plagued rookie season for Jace. He ends up catching that touchdown in the NFC Championship. So that's the guy that they drafted and they want to build on. And so we asked Gutekunst about, you know, so you know, Sternberger ends up on the reserve COVID-19 list. Might mean that he was, you know, exposed to somebody with COVID, not necessarily that he tested positive. But we asked, with Jimmy Graham out of the picture, how much are you going to depend on this second-year guy, Jay Sternberger, at tight end?
Yeah, I mean, Jace, you know, is going to – we're dependent on Jace to be a big part of what we're going to do this season. So, you know, from the time we drafted him, we looked at Jace as a matchup problem. He's a very gifted athlete. He's a young player, you know, coming out. He had 1 year at Texas A&M, and so there was a lot of growth there. But we really liked the positive signs we saw through the season last year. You know, it was unfortunate we didn't have an offseason to kind of springboard him into this season. But we're excited to get him back in the fold and see what he can do and see where he's at. Like a lot of our players, pretty much all of them. I mean, we haven't seen them on the field, you know, since last season. So there'll be an evaluation period here coming over the next 10 days or so to kind of see where everybody's at. And then before we get into these padded practices, but, you know, Jace is a guy we're counting on. We certainly think a lot of him, and we're excited to see what he'll do.
Mike, you're concerned about tight end. I'm concerned about the depth of tackle, man.
And too, Bill. I mean, I don't know who's going to fill in for David Bakhtiari, left tackle. And with Bulaga leaving to the Los Angeles Chargers in free agency, and then Jared Valdir, that 32-year-old they brought in, had last been with the Patriots, who filled in for Bulaga and did a pretty good job against those Seattle Seahawks in the playoff game when Bulaga got that flu bug that was going through the Packers locker room through most of December. You know, and I watched Rick Wagner, who they picked up in free agency from the Lions, at Ford Field up against Preston Smith, and I was not impressed. I was watching that Detroit Lions line and thinking, well, how much better could this team be if Stafford was in there? And it was amazing that they were able to score. You know, I think Daryl Bevel did a great game of calling play action and fakes to keep the Lions in that game. Packers kind of were flat in that one. But I'm, you know, Rick Wagner, for me, even though he's the former Badger and out of West Dallas, is going to be kind of a prove it for me. So I think that you're taking a step down from Bulaga at that position, and you know, the guys that back up Alex Light, they thought he's kind of built like TJ Lang was, that he would be in there, but you know, he failed. He had to go up against, you know, here's an undrafted guy up against the 49ers in that regular season game when Bulaga went down after about 10 plays. That was scary. They've got this big kid that's back for his second year, Yash Nyman. He's like 6'7", big kid, and he's kind of built like a tackle. But the footwork is slow, particularly when it comes to the pass blocking. So we asked about Gutekunst. Yeah, you signed Rick Wagner from the Lions. How do you feel about your depth at right tackle?
No, I got a lot of confidence in those guys. I mean, obviously Alex has played for us. He's gone into games and had to get us out of some spots before. I like the flexibility of our group. You know, I think a lot of guys have the ability to play guard, tackle. Certainly Billy Turner gives us a lot of confidence that he could go out there and play tackle if need be. So I'm pretty confident in those guys. I'm looking forward to seeing Yash in his second year with our group and kind of seeing where he can go and grow. But yeah, I'm confident in that group.
You know, so one other thing that they did too, Bill, was when they gave the left guard job to the rookie Elton Jenkins and Lane Taylor ended up going on IR. I was interested when they brought back Lane Taylor, there's a veteran guard. So if they have run into trouble at right tackle, you heard him right there say, we could try kicking Billy Turner out to right tackle and have Lane Taylor play the right guard position.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either, to be honest with you. I'm not. I think the tackle position is where we go into the games biting our nails that nobody gets injured. In the meantime, right. If you're going to lose guys on the offensive side, build up your defense, do you think the Everson Griffin issue will ever come to light?
You know, here we just 10 minutes ago, these guys were talking about character. So, you know, you lose the NFC Championship game to a very tough, consistent run game where the 49ers didn't have to throw the ball 8 times. They just ran the football down your throat. And it wasn't just the linebackers, and it wasn't just Blake Martinez. It was also on the defensive line, too. You know, Dean Lowry getting spun around a couple times. Tyler Lancaster is an undrafted kid, probably, you know, playing above his head. So, Everson Griffin, the veteran, 32 years old from the Vikings, still not signed. And I think some people are thinking that he and Jadeveon Clowney are both doing the same thing. Like, you know what? We don't need this noise. We're veterans. We don't need to show up to a COVID training camp. Someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to go down. And we'll get our price from some team out there. And maybe it would be the Green Bay Packers. So now, last I heard, Mike Zimmer said he'd still like to have Griffin back. What I remember is that every time you play the Vikings, you'd hear David Bakhtiari say, oh, man, it's the Vikings. I got Everson Griffin this week. The guy's a handful. He's quick. He's got a half dozen moves to get to the quarterback. Difficult to block. But I remember this incident when the Packers hosted the Vikings. And remember, they ended up playing to a tie, and the Vikings rookie kicker missed 3 field goals that day. Otherwise, yeah, the Vikings could have got out with a win. That's the game where Clay Matthews, you know, gets what should have been a game-ending quarterback sack, and they called him for roughing the passer.
Right.
I talked to Everson Griffin after that game, and here's what he said about the game.
He just got to go out there and make him. We're professionals, and you got to do your job. And they expect me to do my job on every play, just like they expect Cousins, and you got to do your job, you know, and but he's our dog, and we love him, and he's our teammate, and we're going to do all the right things to build him up and tell him to go out there and kick that thing, you know. He just got to kick it, you know, but that shouldn't be the W. But besides that, there's a lot of other things, you know, block punt, sacks, but, you know, we played well with a tie, man. We did a great job, but, you know, it was a fun fought game, and only thing we could do now is get back to the drawing board. Tie is better than loss, you know, but tie goes for the runner, and we the runner, so I'm going to take the W today. So.
Nice guy, Bill. You know what? As he's talking, I'm thinking, this guy reminds me of KGB. You remember, it reminds me of Kabir Bajabiamila. Well, a week later, he's lost from his home. They couldn't find him for 36 hours, wife and family. He's walking around the neighborhood shirtless. He's threatening people that he's going to kill them if they don't break down this hotel door. He ended up having to spend about 3 months in a sober house. So a mental illness breakdown, okay? Now, things seem to be okay because he was back in the fold, snippy with some of his teammates. But there's some very public character issues with Everson Griffin. And maybe the Packers, maybe Russ Ball's just doing due diligence is what would it cost to bring in Griffin. That doesn't mean the Packers were that interested in him.
Yep, no doubt. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I know there's some other things we want to get to before we get out of here today. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Timberstone Championship Golf Course. That's Pine Mountain Resort up north and our friends over there at the Four Seasons Island Resort. Go to pinemountainresort.com. That's pinemountainresort.com for a great, beautiful one-tank trip up into the UP or right in Pembine, Wisconsin. Go to thefourseasonswi.com. That's thefourseasonswi.com. We'll wrap things up with Mike Clemens coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
With the 26th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
Was I bummed out? Of course. Who wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. You know, like I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay. I love the city. I grew up there. Just got there when I was 21. I'm 36 now. You know, a lot changes during that time. But look, I get it. I see it completely clearly, and I'm not bitter about it. It just kind of is what it is.
Those are the words of Aaron Rodgers. Welcome back to the program. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, wrapping things up, our good buddy Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio and our Green and Gold Insider. So kind of a weird offseason, we'll say, for Aaron Rodgers. He has Jordan Love drafted. He loses Love, if you will, when it comes to him and Danica, I guess, after buying that $25 million home out in Malibu. What a kind of a shocking turnaround, I guess, right?
Absolutely. And look, at the end of the day, the Jordan Love thing is not necessarily because Aaron Rodgers is 36 years old. The Jordan Love thing is because losing your first-string quarterback is no longer an excuse in the NFL. The Eagles proved that a couple of years ago. When Carson Wentz comes down, it's Nick Foles that beats the Patriots, not any other team, beats the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And that's another reason that maybe Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy are no longer in Green Bay, because twice when Aaron Rodgers went down, they were unable to close the deal. The Packers have tried to draft, you know, Brett Hundley and all the other guys that they've. So Jordan Love is there on the board. The value is there. They like what he can do. Yes, they're thinking about the future. And Aaron Rodgers says he's aware of that as well.
Just look at the facts. You know, they traded up. They drafted him. I would say they like him. They want to play him. Now I think quarterbacks are playing earlier. It gives some latitude for young coaches and GMs to play their guys. And I get it. I really do. Like, I don't harbor any ill will about it.
No, but you can also make it very difficult on the Green Bay Packers to make a choice, too, eventually down the road.
No, and it comes to the quarterback position as well. You know, there's this thing that they're talking about. Speaking of Mike McCarthy, his agent suggested a couple weeks ago, look, we all know if you lose your starting quarterback, it's over. And you, what if the whole quarterback room is wiped out from COVID? You got three quarterbacks on your roster. Maybe you should have a quarantine quarterback, a guy that he suggests you could pay maybe $12,000 a week or so, that isn't in the room or on the practice field. He's following everything from home, but he's in all the meetings. He's up in the playbook. He's up on the game planning. So if you have a COVID outbreak at quarterback, at least you can still field a team with someone mm-hmm. who's up to speed. I thought that, and the Packers say that they're looking at that. But overall, to draft Jordan Love, now you create, you know, this situation in Green Bay like we went through with Favre and Rodgers. And I asked Matt LaFleur about it.
Hey, Matt, here comes your favorite question. Every NFL analyst, every fan. Well, Green Bay traded up to get a quarterback. So that must mean Aaron's only there another year or two. And Aaron even alluded to last week that, so maybe he's not here another 4 or 5 years. How do you handle that with the players? What do you want to say to fans about that situation?
Well, I think right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time. And however long that is, I don't think anybody knows. Nothing's guaranteed in this league. But I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis. And, you know, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
And after 2 years of dating him, Danica Patrick had to say this was what she had the connection with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I finally found someone who pays for things. That's never happened. Ever. Like, I would buy dinner, literally. Yeah.
Dinner?
Super uncomfortable. Yeah, like, I mean, I would buy dinner most of the time. It was super uncomfortable in the beginning with Aaron, like, to have him paying for things. Because it was so out of the norm for me. But I think it's also good because no one's really done that for him either. And so, you know, we both do stuff, but yes, he pays for most things. I really think it's that we both are interested in similar things, and that stems from being open-minded people. Yeah, like it all really started with me asking if he was stalking me on the astral plane, and then it went from there. So
what?
Yeah, exactly, because people don't know what that means, but he knew what that meant, and then it just went from there, and we were like, oh my God, you, like, we had been friends for 6 years, five, 6 years, and like just friends as in like, hey, how's it going? Or like, oh, congrats on the game, or good race, or Sometimes I didn't hear from him for a whole year, and then I'd hear from him a couple times the next year. I mean, it was very sporadic, but definitely friend-based. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where we both went, what? We're interested in unique things that not a lot of people are, and we're also very open-minded people. So, you know, we love to learn and educate ourselves. And so when he buys me books called, like, The Holographic Universe, I'm like, this is awesome. You know him. I mean, he is a super, super intelligent person.
There you go. And it is no more, unfortunately. Mike, good stuff today, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
I'll be stalking you on the astroplane, buddy.
I, you know where I fly. Absolutely. Good stuff from Mike Clemens. Time for us to go. Have a good one. We'll be talking Brewers tomorrow. Rick Bucher is going to join us tomorrow as well, talking some NBA. Time to go. Have a good one. Sweep!
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.